The post-resurrection narrative in John's Gospel seems to transpire rather quickly in this reading for the second Sunday in Easter, as we encounter in just a few verses the assumed ascension, since Jesus was clear to Mary Magdalene to tell the disciples that he was indeed ascending to the Father. We have St. John's version of the Pentecost event, as it is here that the Holy Spirit is given to the disciples by the breath of Jesus, as well as the Great Commission, as we hear about Jesus sending them out as the Father had sent him. To set the stage for this theologically rich piece of Scripture, the scene finds the disciples on Easter evening, locked in a house, fearing for their lives. There is knowledge of an empty tomb and a possible sighting of the risen Lord. Thomas is absent from this gathering, and Judas is on the lam. It is here where we pick up the action with Jesus, seemingly appearing out of nowhere. Jesus comes upon them like a thief in the night. And just as he broke free from the grave, he breaks into their locked tomb and brings life into a space that is paralyzed by death and by the fear of death. The disciples' fear of the leaders of Jerusalem has them holed up in a locked house, even though some of them have seen the empty tomb with their own eyes. And though they should have heard Mary's proclamation that the Lord is arisen and is ascending to the Father, this gathering of the disciples should hearken back to the imagery of Ezekiel and the valley of the dry bones. As it was promised in Ezekiel, the disciples are brought up from their graves. They are pulled out of their tombs of fear, and they are restored as members of this new creation in the living Christ. Because Jesus lives, the disciples are alive. Jesus may be the resurrected one, but when he breathes upon the disciples, they live once more. Being restored to life, they are called on to carry on the mission of Jesus. As Jesus was sent of the Father, now the disciples are sent of the Son. But this commission is not one of solitude. It's not some maverick operation with solitary disciples in mind. No, this commission is one like that which preceded it. Jesus is, as St. John tells it, one with the Father, for the Father and the Son are one. And since the mission of Jesus required the presence of the Father, the mission of the disciples, the continuation of the mission and ministry of the Son, would have the assurance that the Son must and would be present to them. In his ministry and his life, Jesus demonstrated the presence of the Father. So now the mission of the disciples is to demonstrate to the world the presence of Christ. And just how are they to do this? But through the ministry of the forgiveness of sins. This call to the disciples appears to come with the understanding that they are no longer students, but they are now co-workers in this work of forgiveness. Whether it is to absolve sins or in the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins, Jesus has blessed them for this work and here sends them out to the world. But before doing this, before breathing upon them with the Holy Spirit, before commissioning them for the ministry of the forgiveness of sins, Jesus shows them his hands and his side. Jesus shows them his scarred flesh. Initially, this might be as a sign of proof that Jesus is who he claims to be, that the one standing before them, the one declaring peace, is indeed the one who hung from the cross, the one who had nails driven into his hands and a spear lanced into his side. This was physical evidence that their teacher, their friend, their Savior was alive, had risen from the grave, and was standing in their presence. This sight and the realization that followed brought great joy to the disciples. But I think Jesus had more reasons than that to bear his scars for his beloved to see. Jesus shows his disciples, and in the same way, he shows all of us and all those who believe that this ministry to which we are commissioned for, the ministry we are called to, Jesus reminds us that all of this is founded in his wounded hands and side. It is a reminder that the ministry that we are called to, the ministry that we engage in our daily lives, it too is a fleshy ordeal. The business of forgiving sins is one that will leave marks and scars upon us. And Jesus makes this plain and clear for all to see in his revealing of his wounded hands and his pierced side. And initially, Thomas misses it and thus refuses to believe. Maybe that's what makes me like Thomas so much. Maybe it's because he reminds me a little of myself. Thomas is, after all, the Missouri of the disciples, the show-me state of the 12. Thomas doesn't want to be shortchanged from what the others saw. Was he not there at that gathering on Easter evening because he had snuck away to see the empty tomb for himself? Was he in denial because he felt slighted that the others had seen Jesus? Jesus in the flesh, the risen Christ? Or did he simply crave the presence of Jesus once more, because he had already experienced the toll of what following Jesus meant, and he desired a blessing as well. The good news is that as he did for Thomas, Jesus makes himself present to everyone. Since the Father and the Son are one, as St. John makes it very clear, and we are one with the Son in and through our baptism, then the assurance of his presence is true. For the Thomases out there today, for those who yearn to run off to see the empty tomb for themselves, for those who simply crave the presence of Jesus in your life, he is here. He is here in the proclaimed word. He is present in the flesh and blood and the sacrament of the altar. And he is poured out upon us in this gathering today. And he promises to be present in our gatherings again and again and again. It is Jesus who breaks open our locked doors, our locked hearts. It is Jesus who frees us from whatever entombs us. It is Jesus who pulls us out from our graves and breathes the Holy Spirit upon us so that we, with all of our scars and all of our wounds, may participate in the work of the kingdom, in the fleshy and messy ministry of the forgiveness of sins, whether we be Thomas's or not. Amen.